Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
When I was dating my wife, Audra, I made the decision that the clincher, the thing that I really needed to do to kind of push our relationship forward, to really, really finally win her over, was to take her on a trip to my hometown of Ackerman, Mississippi. A sweet little hamlet of 1,500 connected souls. That's what we were. And so we went there one weekend, and on Saturday night, we went out to eat in Starkville, Mississippi, about 20 minutes away. We had dinner. We went out, watched a movie. We drove back into Ackerman about 11:30 that night, kind of late. And as I pulled into town, one of the policemen, Ackerman's finest, pulled in right behind me. I didn't have a Choctaw County tag, so I'm sure that he thought this is some outsider. He's going to steal. He's going to loot. Going to destroy our sweet little town. So he follows me through town. Follows me on the way out of town. So here's what I did. I looked over at Audra and I said, "Watch this." At the next stop sign, I put the blinker on and I turned right. And I got to the next stop sign with the cop still behind me, put on the blinker and turned right. Went to the next turn, put on the blinker, turned right. Finally, I turned on the blinker to go right one more time. The cop turns his lights on and pulls me over, because nothing impresses a date like intentionally being pulled over by the cops. So he pulls me over, the officer comes up, asks me for my license. I hand him my license, and he starts calling it in right there on his little CB, and he goes, I need you to run a license for one Thomas Edwin Rester. And then he stopped, and he looked at the license, and he looked in the window, and he slung the license back in the window, and he said, "Go home, Eddie. Go home." Sometimes your identity is important, right? Sometimes knowing someone else's identity is important. Sometimes you just need to know who you're dealing with, who you're with. And here's the thing about the Gospel of John. We're going to be in the Gospel of John for the next few weeks. The Gospel of John works overtime to make sure that we know and understand the identity of Jesus. The Gospel of John, more so than any of the other Gospels, the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the stories, they're the books that tell us the story of Jesus. More than any other book, the Gospel of John wants us to know who we're dealing with. The Gospel of John wants us to know who this Jesus is, why this Jesus is, what Jesus was up to. Because here's what John knows. The identity of Jesus changes our identity. Or at least it has the power to change our identity. We need to know who Jesus is. So the Gospel of John makes it easy for us. It really throws us a softball. When I say softball, not for the OU softball team. We don't hit those very much, but most other church league teams hit the softball well. It's a softball for us, and here's what he does. Seven times in the Gospel of John, we get this phrase, "I am." Jesus says, "I am blank." And here are the seven right here. "I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, the resurrection of life, the way, the truth, and the life, and the vine." Over and over, Jesus uses these images to help us along. And in every image, Jesus speaks to a human need or a human desire. And also speaks to how Jesus meets that human need and that human desire. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at four of those "I am" statements. And the one that we want to look at today, the one that we heard read just a moment ago, relates back to God's first command in all of Scripture. Anybody know what God's first command was? Anybody want to guess? Nobody smart enough here? God's first command, "Let there be light." Let there be light. This is the very first thing that God does in the creation story. God separates light from darkness. God creates light to push back the darkness. And then when we get the story of the creation again in the Gospel of John, right back, John chapter 1, here's the amazing thing that John does. John tells us how the Messiah, the coming one, fits into the story of creation. And this is what John says right off the bat. John chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. What has come into being in him, that's the Messiah, was life. And the life was what? The light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. What we're told is that the Messiah is light. And so here's what we hear in Scripture. The cornerstone of creation and the cornerstone of salvation is what? Light. So when Jesus begins talking about himself, it shouldn't surprise us in what we hear Jesus saying about himself in John chapter 8, where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus proclaims to us that he's the cornerstone of all creation and that he's the cornerstone of all salvation. This is who Jesus is. Jesus is the light. And here's the thing. This image for us is so easy. You don't need a theological degree to understand this, right? You get an object lesson in this every night about the power of light, right? When the sun goes down at your house, what do? Do you sit around with your family and talk in the darkness? Do you stumble into the kitchen in the darkness to make dinner? No. What do? You turn on the light because we desire light. We want the darkness pushed back. That's woven into us, this deep need and desire to have light in life, because we know that light has power. There's an old fable about a king who, as he got older, he didn't have any heir. He didn't have an heir to the throne. He didn't have anyone to inherit all the riches. And so he started a contest, and he put out the word that he would open one of his barns, and whoever could fill one of his barns would inherit the throne and would inherit all of his riches. So people came from all over the kingdom on one day, and they tried all sorts of things to fill the barn. One guy brought a herd of horses, put horses in the barn. That didn't fill the barn, just kind of made it kind of smelly. Another guy tried firewood, stacking firewood in the barn. That didn't fill the barn. Another guy tried straw, which was wise, but not quite there yet. As the sun went down the day, no one had managed to satisfy the king's command. One little boy decided he would try, so he walked into the barn empty-handed. And as he did, all the men, women around started laughing. What's this little boy think he's going to do? As the sun went down completely and darkness came, the little boy took a candle out of his pocket and put it in the middle of the barn. And as he lit the candle, the crowd watched in amazement as the light pushed back the darkness and filled the barn. The boy knew what we need to remember, that light has great power to push back the darkness. And when Jesus comes claiming that I am the light, what Jesus is saying, Jesus is making this stunning claim that his life, his love, his grace has the absolute power to push back all of the darkness. In fact, the darkness, Scripture says, cannot overcome the light. That's the way light works. Darkness doesn't move in on the light. Light always pushes back on the darkness. And when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," Jesus is preaching to us that it doesn't matter what darkness we face, no matter how deep that darkness is, when he enters into that circumstance or that situation, darkness flees. This is good news for us. And that's good news for some of you, because some of you this morning, you have come here this morning through the rain, through the nastiness of this morning, because there's darkness that you're encountering, that you're wrestling with, that you're fighting with. Maybe it's darkness that, you know, maybe it's financial issue for you. Maybe your darkness is a relationship issue or a marriage issue. Maybe for some of you college students, the darkness right now is, exams are next week or the next. It's semester's coming to an end, and you're just feeling overwhelmed. Maybe for some of you, you're about to graduate, and that graduation moment, whether it's high school or college, for you, it's scary. It's terrifying because you're not sure what's next, and it feels like you're entering the darkness. All of us, every single person in the room, we're wrestling this morning with some kind of darkness. And what Jesus speaks to that dark place is that he's light, pushing back the darkness. And Jesus is clear to us how we can encounter that light in our dark places. In John chapter 12, this is what Jesus says. He says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. Jesus invites us to believe. And that's not just an intellectual belief. The way that word comes across in Greek is that there is a choosing to trust. It is an active and involved choice that we make to trust. It's the prayer that we make. God, I don't know how I'm going to make it around this corner. I can't see what's ahead, God. But on this day, I will choose to trust in you. In this moment, in this circumstance, God, I choose to trust in your light and not the darkness. The promise for us is that the light is our hope. But here's the thing. That's not all Jesus is talking about here. There's more to this, another layer to this. Light is our hope. But there's something else that light does in our lives. When light comes into a room, what happens? It reveals everything, doesn't it? You can finally see what's there. When we encounter the light of Christ, what that means for us is that we can finally see what's going on in life. It means we can finally see what's going on in our lives. Light reveals reality. And every parent knows how important it is for light to reveal reality, right? How many of you have kids under 10? Anybody ever had a kid under 10? What's in your life at that stage? What's the most dangerous thing in your house at night in the darkness? Legos. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like when you can't see things, you stumble over them, they bring you pain, they're worrisome, they hurt you real bad. And we need light to reveal what's there. And here's the other side of trusting that Jesus is light. As the light of Christ comes into our lives, it reveals to us what's there, what sin remains, what problems remain, what darkness remains in our own hearts. Several years ago, there was a situation I was in where some folks had really hurt me. They had done me wrong. And by all accounts, they'd really done some things to undermine me, to betray me. And I was in my rights to be furious with them. And I absolutely was furious with them. But here's what happened over the course of time with that. As I began to heal from that, as I began to work through forgiveness and things, as the light began to reveal things in my life, here's what I found. I was doing a lot in my own life to continue to allow the darkness in that of that situation to linger. I had to realize I was doing a lot of things that were allowing that to have power over me. I was allowing a lot of the anger to infect my work and my family. I was allowing my prideful unwillingness to forgive, to just let the darkness hang on. And over the course of time, the light of Christ began to reveal that to me. What might happen if you really allowed the light of Christ to shine into the shadowy parts of your soul and your life? What might you discover as the light of Christ revealed your reality? Maybe it's a brokenness from years ago. Maybe it's an anger that still has power over you. Maybe it's a greed, a desire for things that you're continuing to go after. Maybe if the light of Christ entered parts of your life, you might discover some prejudice and some racism that still continue to control how you see and act and react when you're around certain people. Maybe your prayer about the light of Christ is, God, show me my life. Show me the reality of my life. Because light reveals reality. This is what Jesus says, John 11. He says, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. If you don't want to stumble, if you don't want to continue to trip over the same things, if you don't want to continue harming yourself, your family, your marriage, your relationships, maybe it's time to pray for the light to enter into your life, to reveal your reality. But there's one more piece of this promise, one more piece of Jesus' identity. I don't want us to walk out of here without touching on, even if just briefly. Remember at the very beginning, I said that the identity of Christ changes our identity? Anybody remember that? Nobody remembers that? That's okay. I'll say it one more time. The identity of Christ changes our identity. Here's what Jesus said, our verse for the day. Remember, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have what? They will have what? The light of life. We become light. You and I become light. John chapter 12, Jesus also said this, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become children of light. When we believe that Jesus is the light of the world, when we trust in that, what begins to happen to us is that we become people who share the light of Christ, who shine the light of Christ in dark spaces. And here's what you need to know about the people sitting in front of you, behind you, to your left, and to your right. Here's what you need to know about the people you're going to go to work and school with tomorrow. Here's what you need to know about the people you're going to encounter at the Dollar General, at Walmart, wherever you go. There are people all around us experiencing deep darkness who will never tell you about it, who are hiding it, who are struggling to keep that darkness contained. But you have the power of Jesus Christ alive in you to be light. Maybe through a word of encouragement, maybe through a smile, maybe through a question that you can offer, maybe through some forgiveness, maybe through some encouragement that you can give. You have the power to shine the light of Christ into the world. So what if tomorrow your entire focus was, you know what, today, God, I'm going to try as best I can to put more light into the world than darkness. Because let's be honest, all of us at moments put a little darkness into the world. But what if tomorrow we tried to make sure that we were more light than darkness? This week I picked up a new book, Everybody Always by Bob Goff. There's research out there that says people only read 2 books after they graduate from college. I want to encourage you, one of your 2 books after college, if you still got one left, should be this one. If you still haven't read any books, I can give you suggestions for the other one as well. But Bob Goff, Everybody Always. Great, great book. In the book, he talks about one of his neighbors, a woman named Carol. She moved in across the street from them. She was an elderly lady. She was single. And his family got to know Carol, loved Carol. There came a moment where Carol was diagnosed with cancer. And she fought valiantly for years against that cancer. But finally there came a moment where the doctors told her there was no more that they could do for her, and they sent her home. Sent her home so she could be at peace, so she could spend her last days at home. Bob Goff was visiting with her, as he always did. He said, So tell me, what's left on your bucket list? What's something that you want to do that you never got to do? You know what she told him? Here's what she told him. I never got to roll anybody's yard. Never got to anybody's yard. So, a couple days later at 4 in the afternoon, Bob Goff gathered his kids and a bunch of rolls of toilet paper and got Carol outside in the neighbor's yard. And they rolled the neighbor's yard and kept rolling the neighbor's yard until the cops showed up to tell them to stop rolling the neighbor's yard. This moment of levity and joy and light, that was a gift for this woman. Here's what Bob Goff says about that. He says, selfless love has the power to transform even the darkest places into meadows. Selfless love has the power to transform even the darkest places into meadows. Who around you is someone that needs your selfless love? I'm not advising you to roll yards. But who needs your selfless love? When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, it changes who we are, because we begin to understand that He's light for our darkness. We understand that our darkness gets revealed. But more than that, we get to partner with Jesus in lighting a dark world. So go today. Light the darkness. Let's pray. God, what we know as we gather today is that there are those who are desperate on this day for light, for their circumstance, for their situation, for their grief, for their pain, for their feeling of being lost. God, I pray that You would pour Your light into those circumstances, that God, You would be revealed in great grace. But God, I also pray for our ability, that You would give us courage, God. You would give each of us courage to step into our identity as children of light, sharing Your goodness, sharing Your light with others around us. God, may we start in the moments today, right after we sing, God, may we smile and greet and welcome and encourage those around us. May we go into work tomorrow with the attitude that we're going to shine more light tomorrow than we have in the past. May we find the joy of giving away Your selfless love. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.